It's interesting where the Christmas story begins. It begins in darkness. There was darkness, there was oppression for God's people that were conquered under Roman rule at the time. They were beaten and a defeated people. There was the darkness of persecution. Indeed, it was despised universal time of taxation. They hated the Romans because of the taxation, but they had to go to Bethlehem in order to pay their taxes. That's where the story comes together on a very, very fateful night. There was the darkness of disillusionment in the society of the day. There was an ever-increasing number who felt that violence, not faith, was the most effective path. Yes, and on that very first Christmas, the mood was one of despair and resignation. And thus, it was then, and thus, it is now. We, too, live in a world of darkness. There are wars and rumors of wars all around us. Hunger, unemployment, racism, loneliness, a sense of emptiness during this particular time of the COVID virus. It's been a rough year. But then a little light came into our society. And thank goodness for the medical team and Operation Warp Speed. they were able to give us a glimmer of light and hope in this particular time of darkness all around the world. I like what Robert Frost said with these words, what he wrote. He said, "I have been acquainted with night. I have walked in the rain and out of the rain, and I've been acquainted with the night." I don't think I have to tell any of you here tonight about darkness, because in one form or another, at one time or another, it has touched our life. Every one of us here has experienced that darkness. I'm 99.9% sure. If you've ever been acquainted with the night, then we do come here this evening, not naive and not for a prep talk, but the existence of darkness which is being broken by the light of Christ. It affirms that the darkness is real and it's present. But it also affirms that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. The prophet Isaiah wrote this. He said, "People who walk in darkness have seen a great light." And then over in John's gospel, it says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the night has not overcome it." So together we come to sing the wonderful hymns of the church that celebrate this night, Christmas Eve. Yet in thy dark street, one of the songs says, "In thy dark street shining the everlasting light." History records for us an interesting footnote in this particular time of the year. Back in 1864, our country was torn with civil war. Nobody really knew what was going to take place. Brothers fighting against brothers, sisters fighting against sisters, and it was just a mess. But you know, one of the things that happened during that civil war, that God shined his light into that particular area, and then eventually we came together in reconciliation. But I want to share something with you about that particular night in Petersburg, Virginia. The Confederate Army of Robert E. Lee faced the Union soldiers of Ulysses S. Grant. The war was now 3.5 years old, and there was a glorious charge that had long since given way to the muck and the mire of that particular night, so they were just like stopped. Then late one evening, one of General Lee's aides came to him, and he said, "You know, there's a lot of fires out here. There's big bonfires. What's going on?" Well, Lee sent out a people to sign to see what was going on. And that evening, when he sent out the scouts to see what was going on, he saw fires blazing all along the Confederate lines. He came back and he said, General Lee, it's announcing Major General George Pickett. He has received word that his wife had given birth to a beautiful baby boy. And up and down the line, the Southerners began building these big, huge bonfires celebrating this event. These fires did not go unnoticed by the Northern camps. And soon, a nervous Grant, he said, what is going on? So the messenger came back and said, they're celebrating Pickett having a son born this night. And it really touched Ulysses S. Grant, because him and Pickett was a students together at West Point. So what did Grant do? He went out and he said, we're going to honor this birth too. And they built bonfires all over the place to celebrate that birth. It was a peculiar night, but for miles on both sides, the lines burned and the fires, and no shots were fired. No yelling back and forth, no war fought, only lights celebrating the birth of a child. And once again, the darkness took over. And the darkness of the night and the darkness of the war. But good news. News of Christmas in the midst of the deep darkness, there came a light. And the darkness was not able to overcome it. That light, it was not just a temporary little flicker. It was an eternal flame. And I think all of us need to remember that, especially during these times and with the events all around the world. And events in our own personal life that we feel that maybe the light has been stuffed out. But that's what's so special about the Christmas story. So special that even tonight we can celebrate that. It affirms that whatever happens, that light will still shine. The Hebrew people at that time were afraid of the darkness. And they were particularly afraid of a place in the scriptures that is called the outer darkness. To them, creation began when God said, let there be light. Where there was only darkness, there was void and emptiness, and God said, let there be light. What great meaning and hope it must have been for them when they heard Jesus refer to himself as the light of the world. And we need to hear these words this Christmas, especially families all over the world are split or not able to come together for Christmas or to be able to celebrate things because of this COVID thing, which is now all over the world, even some of it now down in Antarctica. We need to hear these words that this Christmas families will be able to come together and hear the words of Christ. The darkness is real, but because of Christmas, it will never get so dark that you can't see the light. We as humans rely on hope. We need hope in order to survive. And that's the hope and the love that we have through Christ. Because into the darkness of the world, God sent an eternal light. And as you walk out, well, we probably won't walk out tonight. We'll probably stand here and turn the lights down because I think it's still dripping out there. But if we were to walk out tonight and it would be dark, we would be able to notice that darkness does not intrude upon the light. On the contrary, it is the light that intrudes upon the darkness. Light is always stronger than darkness. And the forces of light are stronger than the forces of darkness. So the greatest need in our mixed up world, in our confused world this day, is to let people know there's hope. That's what we do all week long, all day long, every day of the year. We have a biblical mandate to encourage one another in the faith because we all need to rely on hope. Jesus Christ will cling to that hope. And he overcome death. That was another despair that everybody was wondering, oh my goodness, we're going to die. What happens? But that Jesus Christ who came conquered. He conquered hate. And the truth prevailed all over falsehood. And then, when he was crucified for the sins of the world, put into that grave, The third day he rose from the dead, allowing people to know that death was conquered. Even though we've lost loved ones and family and friends during this particular time with this pestilences, as the Bible talks about, we have hope. We have the hope of eternal life. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. That's what we hang on to. Tina just went through losing her dad shortly, and I know some of you during prayer time have lifted up family members and friends that had lost their life during this particular time for one reason or another. But we hang on to the hope, the promise that we'll all be together again someday. And that's the joy. We don't, as Christians, it's not a religion. It's a personal relationship with the living God through Christ. So that's how we can be assured of what takes place, because we can have the hope to keep on keeping on. We are people of the light, as the Bible talks about. And we must share that light in a dark and dreary land, especially during this time. You know, wondering is how Saturn and Jupiter came together and that light shone up in the skies that way for the first time in 800 years. I'm sure some people must have looked upon it and said, wow, think about that. How can the ancients, way back when, be able to understand how the planets worked? I mean, it just fascinates me. They were astronomers. They studied the stars even way back when. And to be able to know that that star that moved over there was something special. And they followed it. But then we come back and we see the same thing happen again. The light that shined into the darkness of what the world has been going through with this virus. I don't know. I don't believe there's coincidences in life. I think everything happens for a reason and a purpose. And I think that same star that guided the wise men in Bethlehem that night, I'm convinced it was not by accident. I think this one here that came the other night too, and still out there for a little while, for a couple days until the planets align again, is a reminder to us that in a sea of darkness, it's the light that it keeps going forward. It's the light of hope. It's the light of Christ that leads the way and dispels the gloom. So it's my prayer that all of you, not only this particular night, but all the nights of your life, see the light of Christmas that'll shine and enlighten the dark corners in your life, and that you too will continue to discover the pathway to Bethlehem.